Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Do we have the right to be forgotten? Do we have the right to have our past illnesses, the likes of cancer, forgotten when trying to access things like your mortgage, your health, or even your travel insurance? You might have heard the Fianna Fáil TD, Catherine Arda, talking about this following the introduction of a private member's bill, which is aimed at now prohibiting discrimination against people who have survived and fought cancer. And I want to hear listeners' stories, their experiences of this today. Erica's with me on the line. Have you experienced this, Erica?
Hi, Andrea. Yes, unfortunately, I have experienced this on many different levels, right through from travel insurance to mortgage applications. That if you have a history with cancer, you can just be locked out of so many different financial services and products. And it is discrimination, as you kind of alluded to in your opening. It really is.
So just explain in your case now what happened.
So say, for example, if you take like the bottom of the rung here on travel insurance. So I'm someone who's had cancer twice. And even after the first time, after a few years in recovery, I go online and I try to get travel insurance. And it asks you, do you have any of the following illnesses? As soon as you select cancer in the drop-down menu, your application doesn't proceed. So my first cancer diagnosis was in 2019. And every trip I've taken, every flight I've taken since, I haven't had travel insurance because I can't get it.
And it's not even like that, you know, that you might have a higher loading on the policy or that you're not prepared to pay more. It's that the actual insurer won't even give you cover, Erica.
Won't insure me. And like, I could go on holiday and I could slip and break a leg. I mean, not everything in my life is going to be related to cancer. But no, it's just a blanket no. Now, there are some very niche insurers that might give you cover. But to, like, use a pun, I've just talked about breaking a leg, but it costs an arm and a leg. Mm-hmm. So that's mild on the travel insurance side. But then it's all the way through. So it's been able to access health insurance. It's been able to get life insurance. It's been able to get a mortgage. And I'm lucky in a way in that I had my mortgage before, but unlucky in a way that I feel really tied to that because my life insurance is tied to my mortgage protection policy. I won't be able to get another mortgage and I won't be able to change my life insurance policy. So I feel stuck and I'm one of the lucky ones because I had my mortgage in place before my first cancer diagnosis. And, you know, I think cancer patients, we're dealing with so many things. But we're being locked into this kind of life limbo if you can't access financial services. And it makes it really hard to move on in life after cancer if you can't access financial services.
And you're in remission, Erica.
Yeah. So I am 6 months out from my last session of chemo now. And that's another really important point as well, Andrea, because we have lots of cancer survivors in Ireland now. At last count, there's about 250,000 of us. And, you know, most of us are locked out of these services. So I don't even understand the business sense for a company. And cancer cases are on the rise. So we really do need a whole change of thinking around this. You know, I do have some friends that have been able to access mortgage products and stuff like that. But everything gets front loaded if you are lucky enough to even get the service, like you might be paying a really high premium or something like that. So, you know, a friend of mine put it like this, and I think this is just a great way to sum it all up, that having cancer is just one big punishment that never ends. And that's what I like about this bill. We deserve to forget that we've had cancer.
Yeah.
We don't need to be reminded in every walk of life whenever we try to access any of these products. Sorry, you had cancer once upon a time. You can't have any of this.
You now can't get a life assurance policy and therefore you can't draw down your mortgage. And this is going to be, you know, a noose around your neck for the rest of your days. Let me bring in Kieran, Erica, too, just for a quick moment. Because, Kieran, you had a cancerous brain tumour, is that right?
Angela, yeah, no, it was spinal. It was a spinal cord, but related because you're still the two same. They're related. Anyway, but I had it back. I got my diagnosis back in 2017. And after a couple of scans in the months and years after that, myself and my then partner, now wife, we wanted to go and try and purchase a home for ourselves because we were in our early to mid 30s. And, you know, naturally, they're the sort of things that you are looking towards at that age. Well, if, you know, hopefully, like if you can be looking towards those things. But we found that, well, I found that personally, that I was being locked out. I can sympathize with Erica's situation. We were being completely locked out by brokers, by bankers, by insurance companies. Essentially, as soon as they heard the C word, they were no longer interested in doing business with us.
Didn't want to know you, Karen.
That is just, that's just the reality of the situation for people who are dealing with a cancer diagnosis, particularly in those years in your 20s and 30s, where you do need to make, or you do need to get access to funds for different things, may it be for housing or college or travel or, you know, whatever it might be, you know.
Did you get it in the end?
So this was in 2017. It's now 2025. And last year we purchased a house after about a year of fighting for it.
Yeah, brilliant.
Because that's another fight in itself. we were able to purchase our first and possibly our only home.
Yeah, which really was enough. But you were able to get even after that's what 7 years. Yeah. You were able to get. You were able to show that you were in remission, that all was good health wise, and you were able to draw down the policies. But it is an additional. Yeah. It really is an additional stress, Karen. There's no question about it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like 7 years, it's a long time to be waiting for something like that, particularly when you're getting your scans and like the doctors are saying, you know, we don't see anything happening here. We don't see anything wrong here. You know, you should go off and you should live your life as normal. But how can you live your life as normal when you can't get access to the same, you know, things that other people can get access to that allow them to move on with their lives? I would say that the Right to be Forgotten Bill, well, it's a code. It's a code of conduct. If I'm, maybe this has changed now. I haven't looked at this in the last few months, but I remember when the bill was originally going through Shannon and Catherine Ardern and Jerry Buttermer, and a number of people were involved with trying to push it through, that it got held up. And I know Pascal Donoghue at the time was the Minister for Finance, and I don't know how it happened, but one thing led to another where it didn't move past the second phase within the Shannon.
Yeah.
And so the bill came through, and this Right to be Forgotten bill, it's not perfect. It is kind of like a, I suppose you can say it's like a plaster over a bullet hole, but it does allow you to get access in time. But as I said, 7 years is a long, long time.
Well, that's
to
the
wait
thing, isn't it?
Along with your life.
Just on that, Erica. Just on a final point on that. Like, yes, the bill, the private members' bill, you know, has been introduced, but there's probably now the need for a level of kind of legislative change around this as well.
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, I see this as a starting block, and I would hope that even when it does come through, I mean, it's certainly an improvement on where we were, but I would hope that this be something that will be under constant review. And as it stands, it's just far too broad and too vague. There's many different facets of cancer, from a stage 2 cancer that's maybe not that serious all the way through to stage 4. But at the moment, insurers just balk at the big C, the C word, no matter what it actually means for your prognosis. I'm just hoping that this is going to be a moving piece, and maybe we can somehow have it that our medical opinions are given when we're actually applying for these products, and it's not just, you know, we mention cancer and then they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, well, we're talking about this, but I know in relation, Erica, and to your situation, and Kieran, both as two cancer survivors, but I can imagine for other people living with long-term conditions today, you know, it must be somewhat difficult, because Gary's on the line. Gary, you were diagnosed with Parkinson's at a young age, so you won't be included then in this Right to be Forgotten, am I right?
Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know, Andrea. And by the way, thanks very much for having me on again. It's a real nightmare. When you're diagnosed with the two letters of P and D, Parkinson's disease, you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's around the corner for you. For my wife and myself, when I was diagnosed, I was 44. I was the height of my career. Great job, you know, great prospects, etc. And that all came tumbling down. Now, it didn't come tumbling down in the way that somebody got after me and said, I have to take these things away from you. I just entered a world where I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Do I disclose, you know, this Parkinson's disease diagnosis to every insurance and motor and house insurance people that I deal with. Do I do the same with life cover? Do the same with mortgage? All that kind of stuff. We just don't know. We can never seem to get a consistent answer, and we're all treated somewhat differently. So there's no consistency at all for people living with the likes of Parkinson's disease, and because it's a no cure disease. It's a, you know, we don't know where it comes from. So there's the uncertainty, you know, rings your life for the rest of your life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And for the last 16 years, I've been kind of, I'm in a better space now than I was when I first was diagnosed. I just kept my head down and I just kind of said what I was supposed to say. But, you know, when you're dealing with contracts of good faith, like all insurance contracts and all life insurance and home insurance contracts are, you have to spell out what it is you're living with. If you feel it's a, you know, a condition that may impinge on your ability to repay. And that's really terrifying because, you know, what if somebody else finds out, or what if somebody else kind of has a different approach, some other supplier has a different approach than another one? What happens in your with your contract of employment? You know, I mean, are you supposed to tell your employer straight away you have an incurable disease, even though you feel you can continue working? We don't know. So, I mean, there's so much uncertainty, which is kind of causing a small amount of angst and fear in the Parkinson's community. And we just need to get to a point where we can say, look, this is the impact of X, Y, and Z diseases. This is the impact of other ones. I mean, it's brilliant to hear cancer, your two callers on there who have cancer diagnoses that are, you know, in abeyance now. That's fantastic. And that's what we're all looking for, that we look for that kind of impact. Well, because then we should have some consistency in what we do with contracts of employment and insurance, etc.
Yeah, interesting text here from a listener. What about people with disabilities, additional needs? I was born needing a kidney transplant. I'm never going to own my own home, just serving a life of servitude, paying somebody else's mortgage. Samantha's on the line. How do you feel about this new right to be forgotten bill today, Samantha?
Hi, Andrea. Thanks for having me on again. I'm disgusted with it because it's like you're just left in limbo again. Like I'm always told your cancer is out of your system. Your cancer is gone. Even though I'm going through the 5 year, I'm only 1.5 years post-op. Like, so I can't understand why a consultant can't hand letters to insurance or mortgage companies, anywhere like that, to say they don't have cancer anymore, but they're being watched for the next 5 years. Do you know, like, it's just like you're penalised no matter what, and you're trying to get on with your life, but yet you have this stress the whole time. Like this week, for instance, last week I got the house insurance, and this week I got the life insurance because they're all up at the same time.
Mm.
And I'm kind of going, do I lie? Do I fill this out? Am I going to be able to afford now the new insurance? Because obviously I'm out of work still, so you're kind of going.
And that's the concern, isn't it, Samantha? That you know that you'd have people that mightn't disclose an illness. Like I've heard stories like this before. You know, it's
That they mightn't. Like if I turn around and don't disclose it, and God forbid something happened to me, and God forbid I passed away or something, it's left to my husband then that he still has a mortgage to pay for. And then after all, like we're 25 years in the house, for 25 years paying life insurance and house insurance. He's just gone and he gets nothing out of it. My children get nothing out of it. Like, so like there has to be some kind of change somewhere. As I say, even letters from the doctors, they're clear. The minute they see that big C word, everyone just panics straight away. Like,
That's the point, isn't it? It's so difficult to try and get whatever life assurance and like the implications of that. You can't draw down a mortgage. Brian makes the point here. He says, the banks were bailed out by the Irish people, including those living with cancer. Shame on them. Why can't they look at the post or the credit unions? Why can't people be supported by the state to help those that you've been talking about? Let the banks lose the potential profit, says Brian. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Samantha, thank you for getting in touch. Gary as well. Kieran and Erica sharing their stories. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.